Welcome to Crosstalk Bullhorns, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. With the American-Israeli preemptive attack on Iran, it is now obvious negotiations were never taken seriously. It's not about Iran's nuclear program, missiles, or protesters. It's all about forced regime change. The risks are enormous. The outcome is unclear, even unknowable. To discuss these issues and more, I'm joined by my guest, George Samueli in Budapest. He's a podcaster at The Gaggle, which can be found on YouTube and Locals. And here in Moscow, we cross to Mark Sloboda. He's an international relations and security analyst. All right, gentlemen, crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. All right, let's start out with Mark here in Moscow. Well, it has finally come. We had been waiting for it for weeks and weeks. It was debated when, how, but none of that really matters anymore. This is a war. It was a war in search of a rationale, but we've crossed that line. So, you know, how do you see this moving forward, Mark? Because what we're being told now, and considering everything we've been told has been a lie, so I'm not really sure to what how much credence to give it. Like an initial 4-day air campaign, and that's going to change things. I mean, I'm so exhausted by the propaganda and the lies that we've been fed by officialdom that you can't even use it as a reference point anymore, Mark.
Okay, so we were here exactly a week ago, and we discussed whether this would happen and how it would happen. And sure enough, not only has Trump not taken an exit ramp, but he has begun a major conflict in the Middle East that I certainly don't see how he thinks I don't know what he thinks, but I don't see how he is going to easily extricate himself from, and has committed the United States to a major conflict. And with the targeted assassination of the Ayatollah Khomeini, the highest religious official in Shia Islam, Trump has just started a U.S. holy war against all of Shia Islam. It must be said that while what we have talked about for decades as Islamic terrorism in the West has almost entirely, if not completely, been the province of Sunni Islamist or Wahhabist Islam, right, if we're talking about motivations. But now there is a whole another possibilities. It is already been declared that the Ayatollah Khomeini is a martyr officially, which, you know, raises him to the highest level of that religious faith. While this attack, we have it from Western sources. It has been quietly admitted that they launched this attack because during the day, because they gained intelligence about a meeting of the Ayatollah Khomeini with several of his top military and political officials. And, you know, it was a targeted assassination, an attempted decapitation strike. Because in line with the classic South Park meme of collect gnomes, collect underpants, stage 2 ? Stage 3 profit, we have the Trump administration, U.S. and Israeli air and missile strikes, stage 2 ? Stage 3 regime change. And Trump has made clear the U.S. goal in Iran is regime change.
Okay, well, what does regime change mean, George? Okay, so they've killed the supreme leader. They will get another one, or the military will take over. I mean, I'm kind of at a loss here. You killed an 89-year-old man, his daughter and grandchild, but the conflict continues, George.
You're absolutely right, Peter. It's very hard to know exactly what they mean because on one hand, there are suggestions that they've got somebody within the leadership in mind who can do the Delcy Rodriguez routine. You know, they're talking about this Larijani. This was this Barak Ravid, who evidently is very close to the White House. He had an interview with Trump yesterday, and he's kept talking about this Larijani, that he may be somebody who could emerge as the leader that the United States would work with. and that Trump could declare that he has accomplished his goals. He got rid of, Supreme Leader Khamenei. That's all that I really wanted. You know, that was to try to do the Maduro routine. I mean, that is one option. Seems unlikely. I mean, the parallels aren't exactly the same. But then there's the other thing, which is what Trump said during his video address when he said, he called out the people, hey, you know, we're going to bomb and bomb and bomb, destroy everything that there is, and then you can come out of your hiding places and take over your government. So that was the other option. But at the same time, these are obviously, you know, mutually incompatible goals. The question then for Trump is, how long can he keep this going? He's done, he's done it for one day. Is there really any kind of a popular support within the United States to keep this going for longer, to keep it going for a week, 2 weeks? Keeping in mind that this is just a United States operation. He doesn't have the fig leaf that previous operations of the United States have had. You know, there was George W. Bush's Coalition of the Willing. There was, you know, the attack on Gaddafi. There was the imprimatur of NATO, with Yugoslavia as well. It was NATO. This is the United States. So there is still the question of just how long can the United States and just keep this going.
What the United States, you know, maybe we'll find someone in the regime and maybe we'll have legitimacy. I mean, this is ignoring the fact that Iran is at war right now, and it's not going to be listening to any overtures. You know, Larijani, we can work with him. I don't think anybody in Iran really could. This is a cartoonish way of looking at things here. Something has started and it will end when Iran says it's over. Mark.
I think that there seems to be some neocon Viagra high resulting from Venezuela, and the U.S. officials seem to think they're going to accomplish something similar. Now, I have no doubt there is still significant CIA and Mossad infiltration and co-option. That's what they do. They do it very well. I'm actually far more worried about that than I am about standoff air and missile strikes out of Iraqi airspace, which is really what we've seen so far. But this is not Venezuela. There are the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, is the state within a state of Iran. They are solid. I do not think that in 1 week, and the whole Western media, right, the talk sources, the New York Times, the Times of Israel, tell us the U.S. has enough offensive missiles for 4 to 5 days of high intensity strikes, perhaps a week of lesser intensity strikes, and then they're out. That they've reached the limit of their offensive stockpiles. And their defensive stockpiles will probably last significantly less than that. And they can shout all the propaganda about interceptions all they want. I've seen the videos, right? These are credible videos. They show 3 and 4 and 5 Patriot interceptors being launched at single Iranian ballistic missiles, and those missiles getting through and doing damage in not only against all of the Gulf states that host U.S. military bases, but against Israel itself as well. And while there's no question that the U.S. and Israel are pummeling Iran and doing significant damage, the same is also true. Now, this is the reality. Iran cannot destroy Israel or the United States, and the U.S. has no ability that I have seen to be able to meet their desired goal of regime change in Iran or other things they have stated, like the complete destruction of the Iranian Navy, their missile, ballistic missile launching and production capability. I don't see that. So
yeah, but I mean, given what Mark has said, George, here, and Mark is a former military man, Trump, the Trump stratagem is still some kind of political solution. It's not a military solution, along the lines of finding a surrogate and somehow managing, massaging political change on the ground and around. That's a pretty tall order, George.
It is a very tall order, but that's why he at least has that off-ramp of saying, well, we accomplished what we wanted. We killed Khamenei. Khamenei is the source of evil. And, it doesn't really matter about everything else. He is the person that we wanted. And that provides him with at least an option. It says,
George, what if the Iranians keep fighting?
Well,
keep bombing.
Yes, exactly. That's going to be a part of that. So, in other words, the question Trump would offer, and for all we know, he's already making some kind of offers to Iran. Let's just call it off within 48 hours. We got what we wanted. You got what you wanted. Hey, let's call it off.
Iran didn't get anything it wanted.
You managed to hit targets in Israel. You managed to hit our own military targets.
Yeah, but the problem with that logic is that it'll just happen again. It'll happen again and again and again and again.
Okay, but what are the options? That Iran just continues with this? That's a high-risk strategy. Iran's ballistic missiles will run out. I mean, they will run out.
Who's going to run out first, Mark?
Yeah, that's the key point there, right? I don't think, especially after this bloody murder of Shia's highest religious official, right, the supreme leader of Iran, that Iran is just going to let Trump say, oh, I killed your leader, you hit of our few of our bases, let's call it off from now and start it again in 8 or 9 more months. I don't think the Iranians are going to go for it this time. They need to break this cycle of repeated and unprovoked U.S. and Israeli aggression against their country. And I think at this point, and I need to make this clear, after reading Trump's Truth Social post, where he went through he's targeted the supreme evil of the world, and he is going to obliterate Iran, and the Iranian people should arise from the ruins of their country after he's obliterated it and take power. And he's doing all of this bombing in the name of peace in the Middle East and in the world. I have to admit, I no longer believe, well, I've never really believed, that Donald Trump is a shrewd individual. I think the man is bat feces insane. I think he is a dangerous lunatic, an unhinged, mentally unbalanced, psychotic individual. And the Iranians, who were still engaged in diplomacy with the U.S., not only can the Iranians not find anything within the current U.S. government to conduct negotiations with, I don't believe that any other country, China, Russia, can
I want you to hold that thought there, because that's what we're going to talk about in the second part of the program here. All right, I'm going to jump in. We're going to go to a short break. And after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on the war against Iran. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk Bullhorns, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. To remind you, we're discussing the war on Iran. George, let me go to you, because Mark brought it up at the very end of the first block of the program. I'll just ask straight out, because it's something that we talk about more often than Iran. Where, in light of this attack against Iran during the course of negotiations, how do you think the Russians are going to respond to talking to Witkoff and Jared Kushner about Ukraine next time?
Well, we discussed this very issue last June, when we also had negotiations in Oman, which seemed to be going reasonably well. And then we had the Israeli-U.S. onslaught. And then we discussed, well, how will Russia respond? Will Russia negotiate? Well, the answer is, we know, yes, Russia will negotiate. And after the June attacks, we had the meeting in Anchorage. We had, and we had the spirit of Anchorage, and the Russians were very positive about the meeting in Anchorage. And of course, nothing very much happened after that. So If you ask, well, will the Russians negotiate with the United States? I would say, yeah, I think they will continue to negotiate. Russians are always open to negotiation.
Well, and but maybe there's a,
about this, but they will negotiate.
Maybe there's a distinction here, negotiating and talking, Mark.
Well, okay, well, let's talk. But okay, but,
yeah,
but
that, yeah, I got your point. I got your point, Mark.
Yeah, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me three times. I'm not. No, George is right that the Russians do like to play the role of a diplomatic elder statesman and the diplomatic moral high ground. I honestly think that's a mistake at this point. But, you know, that's what they do. And they will continue to talk with the Americans for the sake of form. But I don't believe for a second they think that any negotiation or diplomatic, settlement is possible with this regime in the United States, or with the United States in general, but in particular with this, you know, very crude and deceptive regime.
You know, George, I've always looked at the, at least in the context of the current geopolitical setting, is that the antagonism and now violence against Iran is just part of a much greater gambit. First Iran, then Russia, then China. And I think that, you know, I've called it the Third World War. Maybe decades from now, we'll put a date on it, but I think we're in it. Okay, I think we're in it. And so, I agree with you. The Russian statecraft, that's just the way they do it. I don't understand it either, to be honest with you, okay? But they probably will. But the Chinese are going to say, yeah, well, you know, we're going to go through this dance too. And this is also attack on the global south. It's on BRICS. It's the U.S. seeing that its hegemony is weakening, and it's lashing out and attacking and trying to dismember its rivals. Great powers do that. We haven't seen it on such a crude scale for a very long time, but that's what's happening. World War III, George.
I think it is, and I think that this is a very serious situation in the world, because Trump is really, you know, wrapping up a number of things. I mean, we're seeing, you know, Cuba. I think that's likely to be just, there's going to be a regime change there quite soon. And if he prevails, if he somehow succeeds in Iran, and there is a complete collapse of the government in Tehran, a complete collapse of the country, I have no doubt that the plan will be, we're going to do the same thing to Russia. And that they've already got plans in line to do the same thing in Russia. High risk, but, you know, people take all sorts of high risk. They have, you know, same kind of plan, decapitation strikes, and something, you know, military onslaught, something like this. But this is an opportunity that the United States says, we can now absolutely dominate the world, remove all possible rivalries to our hegemony. So if this succeeds, there's no question that the Russia will be in the crosshairs.
If it succeeds, Mark, I don't know, we may have differing opinions here, but I cannot see this gambit against Iran creating the outcome that the Americans want. I mean, there will be an outcome of some kind, okay, but it's not going to be what they want, Mark.
No, absolutely not. Obviously, the Trump administration has completely delusional, megalomaniacal fantasies about their place in the world, their belief that they can remove all U.S. adversaries and dictate, you know, world events from their entrenched Western hemisphere. They don't have enough air defense missiles to defend from Iran for more than a week. And they think they're going to, take on Russia after that. I think they're mad at this point. I think they're dangerously mad. And this is not the next one, not Cuba, not Russia. I think starting this war with Iran is going to be the end of the Trump administration. It's going to be the end. We can talk about the beginning of the end, but it's certainly the end of the beginning of U.S. hegemony. I think that they have tried to bite out something that is well beyond their capability. I think U.S. top generals tried to warn the Trump administration that regime change was not really within our capabilities. He listened to Netanyahu. He listened to the people. He listened to his own internal mad demonic voices. God knows what they're telling him. And he started this. And this is Trump's war. Trump's war against Iran, Trump's war against Shia Islam, Trump's war against BRICS, Trump's war against the global South. Good luck with that, buddy. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, George, I just can't get away from, you know, regime change. I mean, you know, like I said, you know, they'll get a new supreme leader.
Plus,
you know, what is, you know, what's not shown in Europe, what's not shown in America is that school that was hit and all of those children that were killed, okay? I don't see that you're going to have a submissive regime in Iran after this, okay? And of course, their supreme leader has been martyred. That means something to them. Maybe in the secular world in the West, it doesn't mean very much. I just can't see how they're going to say, we've done our bit, the Iranians will take care of the rest. I think they're going to say, much like what Mark said, you know, let's continue on because we don't. Why should we be susceptible to being treated this way every 6, every 9 months when you're going to attack our country? I think that they're going to want an outcome as well, and it's not going to be one that, you know, Donald Trump and his cronies are going to like. I mean, I don't know how many Americans are seeing American bases being hit. I mean, there are tons of videos coming out right now. It doesn't look like it's going well to me. George.
Well, it's still not clear.
And I'm no expert.
Okay. No, I mean, it's not clear really how much damage Iran has succeeded in doing to these bases. We'll see. I mean, it's possible there's damage, but it's also possible they haven't really done much damage. What I find very troubling that Iran was caught so unprepared. I mean, we were talking about this coming attack.
You mean this time?
I mean, how was it that these leaders were meeting in this compound? And this isn't just the killed Khamenei. The United States and Israel managed to take out the much of Iran's military intelligence and security leadership, just as they did last June. Now, you would have thought they'd learned their lesson from last June, basically keep everyone separate, but they managed to do the same thing. They managed again to accomplish a decapitation strike. And that's what I find troubling, that, you know, Iran doesn't seem to have learned the lessons from last June. Now, maybe that things are going to change and that, you know, Iran has something in the tank and that we're going to see some serious damage.
Well, but there you go.
This is not popular.
George just said it. Mark, do they still have something in the tank?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I think George is right. Obviously, they didn't learn their lesson by having this high rank meeting in person. That exposed them. On the other hand, their command and control was obviously much better prepared this time around. Their response was immediate, and they launched, by some accounts, 1,000 missiles, right, within the first 24 hours. And these were precisely targeted thanks to Chinese publicized intelligence of all U.S. military bases and aircraft carriers and everywhere. I mean, I can't say about every single location, but Bahrain, U.S. military bases in Bahrain got pummeled. I mean, they got repeatedly hit really badly. The Strait of Hormuz is now closed. No traffic is moving through it. No ship wants to risk being attacked.
Well, except right? for Iranian and Chinese ships.
Yeah. Except, of course, there will be exceptions, right? And I do believe that Iran has a greater short, medium, and long-range ballistic missile, cruise missile, and even hypersonic missile capacity, long-range strike drones, we've seen Shaheds, than the U.S. and Israel have air defense interceptors or even offensive missiles at this point. And Trump dreamed, and he said it in his posts, hundreds of thousands of Iranian people coming out onto the streets. Well, he's accomplished that. There are indeed hundreds of thousands of Iranian people coming onto the streets of Iran and cities across Iran. They're also coming to the streets in cities across Iraq, in Baghdad and other cities across. They're also coming to the streets in in Bahrain, right, where there's a U.S. military base, and in Lebanon. Only they're chanting death to America now. What on earth has this madman, this dangerous, psychotic lunatic in the U.S. started?
George, is Trump bit off too more than he can chew?
It's possible. I mean, we're going to see within the next few days how things develop. As I say, it may be that Iran is holding back and is going to really make huge devastating blows on Israel and on the United States. So far, that hasn't happened, but this is early days. Now, in terms of these massive demonstrations against the Americans, I remember all of this in 2003 after the U.S. invasion. These demonstrations don't amount to anything very much. There's no love lost between the people of the Middle East and the United States. So I don't think that's significant. I think what's going to be significant is if Iran can inflict serious damage, and that will apply the pressure on the United States to call this off. So the issue of the Strait of Hormuz, that could be very serious, because that's going to affect oil prices, that's going to affect global markets, and that will have an impact on Trump.
Well, gentlemen, I have the feeling if we don't see a resolution one way or another over the next 3 or 4 days, we're going to be talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks, okay? I really appreciate my guests here in Moscow, Mark, and our guests, George, in Budapest. And, of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.